This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. One of the films opening for the Thanksgiving holiday is Life of Pi, which is based on the best-selling novel of the same name. The film is already getting a lot of attention for its 3D cinematography and its CGI Bengal tiger. My guest is one of the film's stars, Irfan Khan. But he's not in any of the scenes with the special effects that are getting all the attention. So you may be thinking, why is he the actor we're having on? Because we've been keeping an eye on him since his 2007 film, The Namesake, when we realized what a good actor he is. Irfan, as he's known now in his country, India, has been in over 30 Bollywood films. In America, he's best known for his roles in Slumdog Millionaire as the police inspector who interrogates the contestant, A Mighty Heart as the inspector general, and Darjeeling Limited as the father of a drowned boy. In the third season of HBO's In Treatment, he played Sunil, a man from India who lost his wife several months ago and is now living with his son and daughter-in-law, Julia, in Brooklyn. In this scene, they've taken him to a therapist in spite of his protests because he's grown depressed and uncommunicative. Gabriel Byrne is the therapist.
Julia implied that your grieving for your wife hadn't eased in the past 6 months. Would you agree with that?
Dr. Weston, my wife and I were married for 30 years. From the age of 23 until the day she died, I spent practically every day of my life with her. I do not understand the need to quantify the process of grieving, this need to count the years and months. I was a math professor, but this is not math. This is the furthest thing from math. It is only a feeling. And sometimes, it is only a blankness.
In Irfan Khan's new film, Life of Pi, he plays Pi as an adult, telling the story of his youth to a novelist who was sent to him by a friend who promised that Pi would tell an inspiring story and make him believe in God. The story Pius tells is about how he got his name and how his family left India by ship when he was a teenager to make their way to Canada. His father owned a zoo and took the animals on board, hoping to sell them. But the ship sunk in a storm. The final survivors were Pi and a Bengal tiger who were together in the middle of the Pacific Ocean on a raft for over 200 days. Here's an early scene with Irfan Khan as the adult Pi and Rafe Spall as the novelist.
Yeah, have I forgotten anything?
I think you've set the stage. So far, we have an Indian boy named after a French swimming pool on a Japanese ship full of animals heading to Canada.
Yes. Now we have to send our boy into the middle of the Pacific and...
And make me believe in God.
Yeah. We'll get there.
Irfan Khan, welcome to Fresh Air.
Thank you, Terry.
I'm a big fan of your work. So how does it feel to be the star of a 3D film with spectacular CGI and special effects on a stormy sea, but your character is in his home the whole time, just talking to a writer?
Yeah, even the whole unit, they started shooting the sea portion first. And once they finished that, and that was kind of quite an adventure for whole unit. And once they finished it, they thought that the film is over. And then they came to this apartment, which is colorless, and with two people are sitting there and talking, and the whole unit was wondering what's going on, you know. So it's a kind of different film completely for the whole unit. And for me... you know, in the shoot, sometimes what happens, you know, you start discovering things while you're doing. But we had not so much of time, like four, five days. I have to finish everything, including the voiceovers. So that's how it started with me.
So I read that the director, Ang Lee, originally shot your sequences with a different actor playing the writer who you're speaking with. Initially, it was shot with Tobey Maguire. And yeah. But in the actual finished film, that part is played by Rafe Spall. What happened to change it?
I'm not sure. I have certain idea about it, but See, what happened, I finished the film, I went back to India, and I was busy working, doing other things, and suddenly I got a call from Ang, and he said that we might reshoot certain sequences. And I said, what sequences you want to reshoot? And he indicated that we have to reshoot everything. And for me, it was a difficult proposition, because there are certain emotional scenes in the film which you know, once you are done, you know, you don't want to get there. You know, you just want to delete that file from your from your hard disk. You just want to, you know, you know that you have done it. Now you don't want to go there. And then I didn't ask him on the phone why we are reshooting it. I came back to L.A. and then I discussed with him what we are going to reshoot. And then I wanted to, I was curious to know what happening, why there's another actor, why there's, you know, why he's not there. But somehow I could understand that they wanted a person who is, who doesn't have such a strong image, because he's playing a writer who's a struggling writer, who's trying to make a name for himself, and that's the reason I could understand why they needed another actor.
Was it really different for you doing your part opposite Tobey Maguire versus opposite Ralph Spall?
Oh, definitely. It always will be different, because it's a kind of. A scene is a kind of duet between two singers. You know, you strike a note and somebody responds, gives a response, and then you respond accordingly. So it will always be different with different actor. It can never be the same.
So let me play a scene from the film that I think you're best known for in the United States, and that's Slumdog Millionaire. And you're a detective, a police detective, and in this scene, you're interrogating the main character who's just won lots of money on the Indian version of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. And no one believes that this young man who's from the slums of Mumbai could actually know the answers to the questions and have
right.
made that much money. So you're assuming that he's cheated. And you have him hanging by his arms and with electrodes attached to his feet, you're actually administering shocks to him.
Right.
So here you are with Dev Patel as the Slumdog Millionaire.
It's hot, and my wife is giving me hell. And I've got a desk full of murderers, rapists, extortionists, bum bandits, and you. So why don't you save us both a lot of time? And tell me how you cheated.
I'm done, sir.
Now listen.
Hello?
He's unconscious, Chuthi. What good is that? How many times have I told you, Srinivas?
I'm sorry, sir.
Wow, Srinivas. Now we'll have Amnesty International here next, being in their pants about human rights.
Sir, I was thinking...
Get him down, tidy him up, please, for God's sake!
It's my guest, Irfan Khan, as the police detective in Slumdog Millionaire. How did the popularity of Slumdog Millionaire, international popularity of it, Academy Award popularity of it, change your life?
It didn't have any direct effect as far as Indian viewership or Indian exposure is concerned. But definitely here in America, people have seen it, and it was a rare opportunity for me to be in the ceremony of Oscar awards. That was something I experienced for the first time, and it gave me a visibility in America. But there were films which I did which were close to me, was Namesake, and I'm still very fond of that film, and that's my dear film, which really made a difference in my life as far as American market is concerned.
And this was a film in which you played an Indian-American who's moved to the U.S. with your wife, and your son has become very, you know, Americanized and is trying to kind of make sense of his Indian American identity. And his name is Gogol, which he's always hated. And toward the end of the movie, you tell him the story of how he was named that. And it's a very moving story. You play a college professor in it, but you're a very smart, very quiet, subdued man who obviously has a lot of very powerful feelings inside, but you don't express it with a lot of drama. And what I mean is, you're a very kind of subdued personality in it.
Mm-hmm. There was something new at that point of career. I was doing films which had a lot more to do with my presence on the screen. And when this opportunity came to me, I never knew that it's going to challenge me in that way, that I need to work on my presence, that it should become like an obtrusive. It shouldn't just jump out from the screen. I have to work on being unnoticeable. That was something, you know, something new for me to exercise in this part, and that made you know, a hell of a lot of difference in my career. You know, it just gave me. Sometimes, as an actor, you get challenges which you think that, you know, how am I going to do that. And that's where the fun begins, you know, when you really, you know, fulfill the demand of the part and you can, you know, achieve what you were supposed to achieve. And that's what Namesake did to me.
It's interesting that it was such a challenge for you to be inobtrusive. You know?
Yeah.
I've seen posters for some of your Indian films and seen a couple of scenes, you know, on websites from them. And you know, there's scenes of you with guns and scenes of you, you know, and there's love scenes and you're working with a warlord in the mountains. And so, you know, those are roles that we haven't seen you in American films.
Yes. What you're talking about, Warlord, yeah, that's the film which Take Me Out of My Slumber, you know, that was a film which really gave me birth. I was losing my interest in acting, and I was doing a lot of television, and television was making me bored of this profession, of this job of being an actor. Television was more of a verbal medium. It was more of a radio play, you know, at that time when I was doing television, you know. So I was not having a good time as an actor, and there was nothing to discover. And so I was losing interest as an actor, and I was contemplating to leave this job. At that time, I got this film called The Warrior. It was produced by Channel 4 and directed by Asif Kapadia. And that film really changed my life. The experience of doing that film and being with that director, it really completely put my life into a different path. And that's a film which is again very dear to me, and that's the first time I went out of India when they had the premiere of Warrior in London, and that's the first time I saw foreign land. I was never out of India before that.
And what year is this?
So it was 2000, I think. 2000, yeah.
You've done a lot of films in India. We associate Bollywood movies with a lot of like singing and dancing and, you know, big production numbers. Have you been in that type of Indian film?
Oh yes, I did try those films, and there were a few. I did those films, and but I was never ever comfortable with things like just breaking into a dance without any rhyme or reason. I think my training in theater stopped me from doing these unbelievable situations. And I think it's a kind of challenge for an actor to believe in these situations which are completely fantastic. Like, you know, you're sitting here and you just break into a dance and, you know, you start singing. But I think, you know, it's a great way of entertaining people, and, you know, just trying to create a world to make believe, and, you know, I like that. But I couldn't do that.
So how did your parents feel about you becoming an actor?
My mother still feels that I could she would be much more happier if I come back to my hometown and I take up some job, decent job, and so that I don't have to be away from her. She still feels that. Sometimes when my film comes and I forces her to go with everybody, that's the only time she says, okay, this was good, this was, you know, she's pleased with that. But within her heart, she is still, you know, she still yearns for me to be there with her. So that's a kind of, you know, a pain I carry with me. You know, I don't know what to do with it.
So does your mother take any solace in knowing that even though you're not living very close to her geographically, that you're so successful and so well-known and popular in India?
It does do something to her, but not enough for her to really feel, she still wants to see me.
She still wants to see you anyways, huh?
All the time, yeah. She has this feeling that all we brothers should be together, we should be living in the same house, and we should be, you know, sharing everything. You know, she's like she just wants to put all of us under her wings, and, you know, she wants to feel good about it.
So I assume you grew up seeing some American movies as well as Indian movies.
Right.
Were there American movies or American actors that influenced you and made you interested in performing?
Oh, yes. They played a major role in my education as an actor. I was in drama school. There's not many drama schools in India. There's one which is authentic. It's National School of Drama in Delhi. It's a 3-year degree course. So I was doing that, and I had so many questions about how to learn acting and what acting is all about and things like that. And I started watching films at that time, because earlier we were not permitted to watch films.
We meaning from your family?
We mean like my family didn't allow us to watch films.
Why not?
Because they were coming from this feudal background, and, you know, they had this attitude of looking down upon films. Like, these are not good influence. They used to think like that. So we were not allowed to watch films. And when I went to drama school, and there was a theater where all these interesting films used to play on a very discount rate. And that's where I watched Scorsese or Costa-Gavra or Fellini, and, you know, that was something eye-opener to me. And I have never seen Brando before that. I never knew who Robert De Niro was. I never knew Al Pacino. I never knew anybody. And that suddenly opened my doors and windows. And that's where my real training started. And that's what gave me a kind of drive, perpetual drive, as an actor.
Were those movies dubbed or subtitled?
No. They were subtitled. Like subtitled, like Fellini's film was subtitled.
So you got to hear Brando's voice. You got to hear Pacino's voice.
Oh yes.
Because that's something
they
you
were
lose
not commercial release.
Yeah. Oh,
no, they were not commercial release.
I see.
Yeah, they were like patronized by government. And these theaters were not commercial theaters. They were there. There was a kind of cultural center in Delhi, and they used to run these films just for, you know, just to popularize art.
Did your parents let you watch television when you were growing up, even though you couldn't see
television
movies?
Came a little late, I think. In our house, television came in 84, it's just a year back, yeah. 83 it came in our house, and at that time it was just two channels used to come, which were government channels. They were not private channels. Started coming in India around 2000. Before that there was just two channels, you know, and it used to start around 6 in the evening, and it used to end around 10:30 or 11 at night. just those 2-3 hours.
When you were doing a lot of television, were they government-controlled programs too?
Yeah, there were. There were two channels that this. There are two channels which is owned by government. But then, you know, they opened up for private channels, and then there are more than 100 channels.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Irfan Khan. Irfan Khan plays Pai in the new film, The Life of Pai. He plays the adult Pai who narrates the movie. And he's also known in America for the films The Namesake, Slumdog Millionaire, in which he played the detective, In Treatment, the TV series in which he was the patient Sunil, and he was also in A Mighty Heart, which starred Angelina Jolie. You studied at the National School of Drama in India, and I don't know if there's a specific approach to acting, a specific school of acting that's taught there, but I'm wondering if there's any comparisons you could make between acting as you learned it and acting as you think you may have learned it if you went to one of the theater schools in England, or if you'd studied, you know, the method in the United States.
Yeah, it's a very interesting question. See, we don't have a culture of realistic acting in India. Our films still are influenced by Parsi theater. Parsi theater was known for melodrama. So it's still carried, in even today's time, it still carry that melodramatic, you know, aspect of still there in our cinema.
And when you say melodramatic, you mean everything's like a little overstated,
overstated, and it's all about emotions, and you know, you just have to project your emotions. You don't have to behave in a realistic way. You don't have to be believable. You just have to, you know, mesmerize the audience with your histrionics. So that was a kind of, you know, cinema was inspired, or, you know, it adapted that element. And we don't have any school like, you know, you have here. You have teachers who studied Stanislavski, and they developed their own techniques, and they had their own way of teaching people how to go about doing a role or performing a role realistically. So we have no techniques. So it's like trial and error, you know. You find your own method. Although we had a kind of drama training in early ages, but it's really ancient, when theater used to play a very important role in society. So, but that's not practiced in today's time. That's like 2,000 years old.
In an interview on Al Jazeera, you told a story that I thought was really funny. And the story is that, you know, when you wanted to, like, act on television, you must have been pretty young when you did this, you climbed up, like, this little mountain or hill where the TV transmission tower was, and you figured when you got there, that's where the offices would be and the people, and you could see if you could do something there. And then you got there and you realize it's just a tower. how old were you when you did that?
I was 14. It's you know, it sounds strange. In today's time, 14-year-old boys is, you know, much more smart, and, you know, they know. But I think we were very naive. We were very naive. And that's what somebody, my cousin, told me, that, you know, there, if you want to work in television, you see that you know, tower on the mountain, you know, there they have office, and you can go. We can go there, and we can ask them, you know, if we can work in television. And that's what we did. We climbed the whole mountain. You know. There was nobody, not even a dog.
So what was your reaction when you realized there's nothing there but a tower?
Like, no tower. Then we started roaming around on the mountain. So we forgot about getting work on television. We just having a great time on mountain.
Did you go to a real TV studio after that eventually?
No. I thought, you know, this is not going to work out. And, you know, it just...
Irfan Khan, thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you, Cherise. Thank you so much.
Irfan Khan plays the adult Pai in the new film Life of Pai. I want to end by thanking Yuwei Shaw for filling in on our show as an associate producer. We'd initially asked her to work for a couple of months, and we kept asking for more and more time until it turned into about half a year. Looks like our time is up. We hope she's willing to come back and work with us again. In the meantime, we'll be listening for her feature stories on the radio.